Happy Father's Day. It's always a fun day of the year. We get to celebrate our dads and get cheesy gifts and all that kind of stuff, and it's wonderful. And they got up this morning and made some eggs and stuff, and so it's a great day. I love Father's Day. But today I want to encourage dads. I had several different ideas of when I got to speak on Father's Day what I would talk about, and the first one I was going to do kind of got weighty, you know, and I'm like, you know, I just want to encourage dads today because, you know, being a dad is not an easy job, is it? You know, there's lots of responsibility, there's lots of pressure on you. You know, you got to get up and go to work and provide for your family. You got to pay the bills. You got to take care of your kids. You got to take care of your spouse. You got to pay the mortgage. You got to pay the bills. You got to take. You got to mow the yard. And there's just so much that falls on us as dads. And let me just say this from the beginning. I'm not saying that being a mom is easy either. But it's Father's Day, so we're going to talk to dads. But moms, you can listen in, and it's the same thing for you in what we're talking about today. But you know, there's lots of pressure being a parent. There's lots of pressure. Lots of responsibility that goes along with being a father. And here's the thing. Lots of times when we let the pressure build up on us and overwhelm us, it's easy for us to lose our joy. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to lose your joy when you have all this responsibility and all these things to take care of. And you know, lots of times we put our happiness on the back burner as parents to make sure that everything's taken care of. And so we don't put a lot of emphasis on having joy in our life. You know, we like the little things in life. We enjoy those little things. But I believe that joy is a very important part of our Christian life. Because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's so many Christians going through life without joy, and they're lacking strength in life, and they're just, you know, trudging through and just trying to make it through in life. And I don't believe that that's what God wants for us. I believe that God wants us to enjoy life. I think He wants us to have joy. And so that today I want to talk to you about, you know, bringing the joy back in your life again. And I believe this is very important to us, more important than we know. And so I want to read a couple scriptures today and just kind of dive into this subject of joy. Because, you know, there's a difference between happiness and joy, right? Happiness is based on the temporary, what's happening in our life right now. But joy is something much deeper, because joy only comes from God. God is the one that gives us joy, and it comes through our salvation. And so when we lose the joy of our salvation, then I believe that we're missing a huge part of what God has blessed us with, that He wants to give us joy. And He wants, excuse me, He wants that joy to actually be the strength that we live on. And so today I want to jump into Nehemiah real quick. And I want to kind of give a backstory before I read the scripture here. But we know the story of Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer in Babylon, and he heard the news that Jerusalem, the walls have been broken down, and it's been run over, and it's in bad shape. And God really put it on his heart to go back and kind of rebuild the wall and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And so we see in the book of Nehemiah, that's where it kind of starts out, as Nehemiah gets this report, and it just breaks his heart. And actually, he loses his joy in this moment, because the king looks at him. You know, you think the king doesn't really pay attention to much going on, but you know, this is his cupbearer. This is the guy who brings him something to drink when he's thirsty. You know, that's not a very important job, is it? But anyway, and so the king looked at Nehemiah one day and was like, what's going on, man? You're usually like always happy and always got a smile on your face. And what's going on? And he says to the king, he's like, you know, I just got word that, you know, my hometown Jerusalem, the walls are broken down and it's just a mess. And I feel like I'm supposed to go help rebuild it. And so he actually asked the king a favor to let him take some time off and to go back and rebuild the city. And so, you know, this is the story of Nehemiah. You know, the king grants his wish, and so he goes back and he's building the walls of Jerusalem back up again. And it was a tough labor. You know, I mean, I've never built a wall before, especially around a whole city, but I'm sure that's not an easy task. And so he goes in there and he shares the vision of what he wants to do, and he rallies the people and they start building the walls. And as they build the walls, you know, the enemies start to come and attack. They see that, oh, they're trying to rebuild the city. Let's stop them from doing this. And so there's lots of turmoil going on, and they finally build the wall back up. And it took them 52 days. I don't know about you, that sounds really impressive to me, to be able to build a wall around the city in 52 days. And so in all of this, Nehemiah becomes the governor of Judea at this time. And so, you know, they rebuild the city. You know, they're fighting off their enemies. Things are kind of going in the right direction. And so they begin to reestablish society in Jerusalem. And it comes to this point to where they're beginning to read the law of Moses again. They're trying to reinstate that. And so Ezra, the prophet, or the priest at that time, comes and he begins to read the law of Moses to the people and begins to put that in their heart again. And they begin to do this. And this is where we get it in Nehemiah chapter 8. And so he's reading the law and the prophets to them, and says, Nehemiah 8:9, it says, "Now Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, 'Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord our God. For the people have all been weeping as they were listening to the law.' Now Nehemiah continued, 'Go and celebrate with feasts of rich food and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with the people who have nothing prepared. For this is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.'" See, this is where we get that scripture at. And I wanted to put it in context of what was going on, because we see Nehemiah, he's been laboring hard. He took time off his work and he began to labor hard, and he's been working hard and he's been leading the people, and he actually becomes the governor, and he's going through all these things. He's helping to fight off enemies, and here it is, he's kind of at the end. And you know, most of the time we're just, you know, when I come home from work, I just kind of want to go sit in the recliner and do nothing, right? Y'all leave me alone, let me have a few minutes, you know. But Nehemiah says, no, don't be weeping, don't be mourning right now. This is a sacred day. You know, good things are happening. Let's enjoy this moment. You know, I usually enjoy a moment after I've been rested up for a little while, or you know, after I've, you know, had some food or something like that. I kind of enjoy life a little bit more. But he said, in this moment, let's enjoy this moment. He said, because it's the joy of the Lord that strengthens us. And so, dads, I want to encourage you today that in all the busyness and all the things that you have to do, and taking care of the yard and the kids and going to work and paying bills and all that, enjoy the moments. Celebrate those little things in life that we can enjoy, because those are the things that reignite the joy of the Lord in our lives. Because when we lose our joy, we lose our strength. When we lose our strength, that's when we begin to, you know, snapping at the kids and being grumpy and doing all these things. But I believe that God wants us to be full of joy for what we do in life. You know, there's lots of times we go to work every day and you know, we have the same routine all the time, and we're just kind of like, we just get in a rut. And nobody enjoys a rut. But we need to be able to find those things to celebrate, you know, while we're doing the everyday things in life, and enjoy life. Enjoy the little moments. Enjoy the little victories. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, it says this. It says, "Jesus said to them, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" How many of you dads need some rest? Nobody? Okay, no. Me and Terry. We need some rest. He said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." See, here's the thing, guys. You know, there's lots of things that we have to do. And God knows that. But in it all, God wants us to have joy, and He wants us to enjoy life. And then He said, come to me when you're burdened down, when you're carrying a heavy load, and let me take that off of you. Take on my yoke, because it's light. It's easy. See, here's the thing, guys. We tend to like to do things ourselves. I can handle that. I can do that. And we take the weight of life and put it up on our shoulders, and we just go trudging through life, and you know, this is my responsibility, this is what I'm supposed to do. And that's true. We do need to be responsible. But here's the thing. We need to give that up to God and let Him carry the weight, but us still go through the process and do all the things that we're supposed to do. We need to give those things over to God. Because if we're trying to carry them ourselves, they will break us down. It will get to the point to where we have no joy anymore, to where we dread going to church. Has anybody ever dreaded going to church? As a kid, there was times that I was just like, I don't want to go to church again. We've been here 4 days already this week. I don't want to go again. You know, and it's, you know, but it should be a joy for us to come together and worship. It should be a joy for us to sit down and read our Bible. It should be a joy for us to spend time and communicate with God and commune with Him. But how many times do we see that as a burden, as another thing on our list to do? See, we've lost the joy of the Lord. And I believe we need to get that back. I believe that we need to come back to the place to where we enjoy our relationship with Him. Because there's so many things in life that are dull and that wear us down. And I believe that in the presence of God is where we find that refreshing. In God's Word is where we find that joy again, where we find the strength to be able to do what we're supposed to be doing in life. See, there's too many cranky Christians out there. There's too many Christians out there that are angry, that are holding grudges and doing all these things, and you've lost your joy. Seek God. Find that joy again. Learn to enjoy life again. See, here's the thing. Jesus told us, there's going to be trouble in life. Trouble's coming. So, but rest assured in this, that I've already overcome the world. It's not your burden to bear. It's not for you to take that on. But we're supposed to be giving all those things to God. Now, this is a lot easier said than done. I know that. But here's the thing. These are the things that we have to do. We've got to learn to give those things over to God and let Him take care of them. See, I can do lots of stuff on my own, but God can do it a lot better than me. And if I try to do it on my own, it's going to wear me out and it's going to wear me down, and I'm not going to be a good dad anymore. I'm not going to be a good husband anymore. I'm not going to enjoy spending time with God. But when I give those things over to Him, that's when God refreshes me. See, in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. See, a lot of men have a humility problem. We have a pride problem. Let me say that. We have a pride problem. Say, I can do this. I can handle this. I don't need any help. Peter tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty power of God. And in the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. See, lots of times as dad, we try to take on everybody else's burdens. We try to take care of everybody else's problems. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants to do for us, is that as we take the problems of our kids and help this and help do that and help do this, we're supposed to hand that up to God. Because He wants to help you just as much as you want to help your family. Are you willing to let God help you? Are you willing to humble yourself to let the power of God be shown in your life? See, we've got to learn to humble ourselves and cast our care. Because when we cast our care on Him, you know what happens? Joy comes back in our life. I love those days when I have nothing planned. You know, I don't have anything hanging over me, and I can just, you know, hang out. I can go do what I want to do. I can go hiking, or I can hang out with the family, or I can do what I want to, and it's a day of joy because there's no pressure on me. And see, that's what happens when we give our cares and worries over to Him, is it takes the pressure off of us, and it causes God's joy to come back in our life because we're being obedient to His Word and giving our cares over to Him. So God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to cast His cares on Him. And one of the questions that came up in me as I was kind of studying this out, you know, okay, yeah, I know I need the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, but how do I get it back? What is it that I need to do? What is it that's causing the joy to go away? And the scripture that popped up in my mind was Psalms 51:12. It says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey." And so today I kind of want to settle in on this scripture right here and kind of talk about what takes our joy. What is it that takes our joy from us? How can we restore that joy in our life again? Because, you know, lots of times we get into life and we can't see the forest for the trees. You know what I mean by that? You know, we get in life and we just see what's immediately around us and we see the responsibilities and we see all of this stuff just immediately with us and we don't see the big picture anymore. And I believe that that's one of the things that saps our joy is that we're so busy taking care of the urgent things in life that we step away from the priorities in life. You know, the girls talked about that last week about, you know, making sure those main priorities are in your life. Because if you fill it with the urgent things in life, then your life will be full and you don't have time for God. You don't have time for family anymore. And so I think lots of times we get in the mix of life and we get in the middle of everything and you're just like, God, you know, I don't have time to spend with you and I don't have time for all of this stuff. And so in Psalm 51, this is actually a prayer of restoration of David. You know, this is right after David's big fail that he had to where he slept with another man's wife and got her pregnant, and then he killed the husband to cover it all up, and Nathan the prophet called him out on it. And so, you know, reread this in Psalm 51, and this is his response to that moment. And you know, here's the deal, guys. We're going to mess up in life. We're going to fall. We're going to fail. The question is, how are you going to respond to that? And I believe this is where lots of times our joy disappears because we don't respond in the right way. Because I don't know about you, but lots of times I like to blame other people for the things I do wrong. Does anybody ever do that? Am I the only one? Okay. Everybody's like, he does. Anyway, we like to blame other people. We like to try to say, well, it's not my fault. You know, it was my parents' fault. Or you know, if you wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have done this. And you know, we try to cover things up. Well, you know, and we try to justify our actions. We try to justify our wrongs in life and because we don't want to admit. And that's why I believe that God called David a man after his own heart because he was willing to admit when he was wrong. Guys, that's one thing about a real man is that he admits when he's wrong. I said this was going to be light today, didn't I? but that's part of what being a man is taking responsibility for your life. And part of that is taking responsibility for your actions. And that's what David did in the midst of his biggest fail in life was that he took responsibility. Listen to his response in Psalm 51. He said, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Completely wash my guilt away and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with the hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. turn your face away from my sin and blot out all my guilt. God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. See, part of the reason why we lose our joy is because of our sin, because of our failures. And I believe that God wants to restore those things to us. Because here's the thing. You know, sin is a big deal, but Jesus paid the price for it already. And so we make a bigger deal out of sin than I think God does. Because in God's eyes, our sin is dealt with. When we come and we confess our sin to Him, the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the deal. We have this memory that likes to hang on to our sin. We keep that and we hold it on the inside of us, and it saps our joy. See, I'm glad the Bible didn't stop right there that says He forgives us, but it says that He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That means it's gone. It's wiped clean. God doesn't remember it. That's good news for me. And I believe that part of the reason why we lose our joy is because we hang on to the memory of that. And as we hang on to the memory of that, it keeps a root deep on the inside of us that keeps that sin there, that we keep going back to it. We keep going back to it. And I love David's response when Nathan the prophet came to him and he confronted him on his sin. He didn't make an excuse. He didn't try to pass blame. Adam passed blame. He said, it was the woman. It's this woman you gave me, God. She made me do it. He didn't pass blame. But he confessed it. He said, be gracious to me, O God. Completely wash my guilt. I'm conscious of my sin. My sin is always before me. He says, create in me a pure heart before you. See, this was David's response to his sin. And I believe that God restored the joy of his salvation to him because he was willing to admit. He was willing to confess. And he was willing to turn away from his sin. See, there's a difference between asking for forgiveness and repenting. Where it's easy to ask for forgiveness. Forgive me, I'm sorry. But in that, there is no promise of never doing it again. See, repentance actually means you're going this way, and then you stop what you're doing and go the other way. That's what repentance is. It's no longer going down that path. So many times we ask God to forgive us, but we keep walking. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God. And nothing ever changes. And so your joy disappears. See, we need to be willing to confess. Let me say it this way. We need to be willing to choose God's way over our own way. Because that's what sin is. We choose our way over God's way. That's basically what sin is. We choose to do opposite of what God wants us to do. And in that moment of David, David chose his own way when he slept with Bathsheba. He chose his own way when he covered it up by killing Uriah. You know, he chose his own way, you know, when he married her and hoping nobody would notice, you know, when she got pregnant. He chose his own way. But when he was confronted, he said, God, I'm guilty. Against you I've sinned. God, purify me. Cleanse me. Restore the joy of my salvation again. And I believe in that moment, that joy came back. See, here's the deal, guys. If you want joy in your life, you need to be willing to confess when you're wrong. You need to be willing to not just say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and stop what you're doing and go the other way. Then joy can come back in your life. And I believe at that point, you can begin to enjoy life again. Those moments in life where, you know, God brings that blessing in your life, you can enjoy that blessing and not feel guilty about it. You can enjoy those little things in life. See, here's the thing. When I get to that point to where I'm run down, I'm tired, everything's getting on my nerves, I know what I have to do. I have to stop what I'm doing, and I have to choose God's way. And I choose to go, and I'll put on some worship music, and I just begin to sing to Him. And it's amazing how when I seek God, when I worship Him, when I put everything else out of my mind and I'm just saying, God, it's all about You, and I begin to worship Him and I begin to pray and I begin to pour my heart out to Him, it's amazing how those things in life that were causing me to be drained, and how small those things are now compared to the awesome God that we serve. God is so big and He's so huge. You know, that's why Jesus said, you can speak to the mountain, it'll move. Because a mountain's nothing to God. A mountain's nothing to God. And so as we get into the presence of God and we begin to choose Him over our own selfish ways, then that joy comes back in my life. There's a refreshing that shows up in that moment. And guys, you know, as we're going about our daily life, our daily grind, you know, yeah, man, we're going to get worn out. We're going to get tired. But we need to have those times of refreshing to where we just go to God and just lay it all, you know, cast our cares in front of Him and just say, God, I got to give this all to You. I can't do this. God, I know that I know Your word says that God, if I seek You first, if I seek first the kingdom of God and Your righteousness, then you're going to take care of all these things for me, God. And I just lay them at Your feet today. God, take these things. God, make something good in them. God, make something good in my life. God, I give it all to You. And it's funny how in that moment, the joy comes back. The refreshing comes. And then I can step back into life and have a completely different perspective. But see, here's the thing. We've got to choose God's way over our way. When we choose our own way, we need to go back to God. God, I choose Your way today. That should be one of our prayers when we wake up. God, I choose Your way today. God, give me the wisdom on how to walk that out today. And I believe that as we do that, I believe that as we're giving our lives over to Him, then joy comes back in our life. And we begin to enjoy things again. And we're nicer to our spouse. We're nicer to our kids. Going to work isn't so dreadful anymore. Because we know that we're seeking God and doing what He wants us to do. Apparently we're going to end a little bit early today, and that's okay. So if my praise and worship team could go ahead and come back up here and get ready. But I want us to spend just a few moments in worship. As we sing this last song, I want you to put everything aside. I want you to put out of your mind all of the things that you got going on this afternoon and all the stuff going on, and just say, God, I choose Your way today. God, I lay my burdens at Your feet. God, I confess my sin. Return to me the joy of Your salvation. And God, I just thank You that You make things in life good. And as they get settled in, we're going to stand up and we're going to worship. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come up also. If you just need someone to pray with about whatever situation in life, our prayer team's going to be up here. And so let's stand, let's worship God. Let's put everything else aside and let's focus in on Him and let Him return that joy to you again. Amen.